right, very good. Well, let me introduce to you our speaker for the evening and the missionary who will be with us sharing some different things this evening. Brother Jonathan Heaton is going to be here. You can make your way up to the platform at this time. Brother Jonathan Heaton, he was here just a few weeks ago, really, with the trio from Crown College, and he traveled with them this summer. But he and his wife are called to be missionaries in England, and he'll say more about that. But it's our privilege to have him. He's going to share a video with us in regards to their ministry as they go over to work there with a ministry we're very familiar with. They're going to go and head over there and help out with that ministry. So they've just begun, as I understand it, their deputation journey. And so we're glad to have them here in one of their early churches and that they've been able to come to. And so he's going to share a video with us, then he's going to preach God's word for us this evening. Brother Jonathan, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you. Well, good evening. We are very thankful to be back with you all. And just a quick update about the summer. We were here kind of towards the middle of the summer. But when we finished out the summer, we had been in exactly 40 churches with the Crown College Singing Group this summer. And we were in just over 75 different services and put over 13,000 miles on the van. And God blessed it in an amazing way. And we thank you all for the hospitality you showed us while we were here. We thank you for your prayers, definitely. And we have this video that we want to show, and I'm sure a lot of what you see, you've seen before, but it's amazing what God is doing in the United Kingdom. And God's working everywhere, and we're very honored and privileged to be led into this work, and we're going to be going over. We'll be working with Levi and Brittany, as you all know very well. And so we just ask for your prayers. We'll show this video, and then I'll add a few more comments after that. Thank you.
The United Kingdom was once the center of Christian influence. Many great missionaries, preachers, and teachers of our Christian heritage were sent from the United Kingdom to evangelize the world. Since World War II, the UK has passed from a beacon of true light to a dark post-Christian nation. In this land of more than 65 million people, the population is ever growing, especially from immigrants and refugees. Islam has become the fastest growing religion, and church buildings are closing to become places of commerce, nightlife, and mosques. It would seem that this nation has turned its back on God completely. However, we know from Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." Even in the darkest days, God still has a remnant. Many years ago, the Lord gave Pastor Clarence Sexton a burden for the people of England. In 2006, Pastor Sexton sent a group from Crown College and the Temple Baptist Church under the leadership of Jane Zinker to begin a work. Since then, five churches and several children's outreaches have begun and are growing, reaching the people for Christ. This is being done through outreach ministries such as evangelistic Sunday schools, English classes, children's Bible clubs, summer camps, and gospel missions. Souls are being reached and hearts softened to the Lord and His work as God's people pray. The Lord is at work in such a way that empty church buildings are being offered and donated to the Crown Christian Heritage Trust, a registered UK charity, for gospel use. And the opportunity is as limitless as God's power. More than a century ago, Charles Spurgeon said, "Ought we not to look upon our own history as being at least as full of God as the lives of any of the saints who have gone before? We do our Lord an injustice when we suppose that He wrought all His mighty acts and showed Himself strong for those in the early time, but does not perform wonders for the saints who are now upon the earth. We know God is able to do greater things and trust Him to do so, The greatest days for the United Kingdom have not occurred, but lie ahead.
My name is Jonathan Heaton, and this is my wife, Gracie. I had the opportunity to grow up in a pastor's home. My dad has pastored the Bible Baptist Church in Ligonier, Indiana, since 1999.
I had the opportunity to grow up on the mission field in England, where my parents spent almost 10 years in church planting brick. They are now in Ottawa, Tennessee, pastoring Providence Baptist Church.
Gracie and I are very thankful that we were able to grow up and serve alongside our parents in church and watch as God blessed the ministries that they were part of. We are both graduates of the Crown College of the Bible in Powell, Tennessee. It was during our time at Crown that we both had the opportunity to travel over to the United Kingdom and take part in the ministry there. During our time there, God burdened our hearts for pioneering missions work. Gracie and I desire to go back to the United Kingdom to plant New Testament churches, to start evangelistic Sunday schools, and to reach internationals through English classes.
We are so thankful for the Lord's leading in our life and trust Him to do great things. The Lord is at work in the United Kingdom, and we are so excited to be joining this work. We know the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So please, pray for the laborers currently serving in the UK, that God would bless them and continue to open doors. Pray for the hardened hearts of the people, that they would see light and call upon the name of the Lord. Pray God would continue to send laborers to this needy harvest field. And lastly, prayerfully consider supporting us as we go to labor in this harvest, that God would prepare the way for us and us for His service. We know God is able.
Gracie and I are, like I said, just privileged to be heading over to the United Kingdom and taking part in the work there. And God has blessed so much just in the last few weeks. They just finished about 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks of summer camp. And when I was there about 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to work at Camp Victory and help alongside all the work there going on. And when I was there, they had the largest group they had ever had during a summer. And they had about 60 teenagers in their teen week and a little, or just under 100 junior campers in their junior week. Well, I just was speaking with Levi a few weeks ago, and he told me that this year they had over 160 junior campers and over 120 teen campers. And they had over 15 professions of faith and a great number of teenagers who said that they wanted to stand strong for the Lord in their community when they went home. And God's at work, and we just ask that you would pray for us. Gracie and I were praying that we'll be through deputation and have all of our support raised by the end of next year, that by the very beginning of 2021 we can be heading over there and helping with the work. And we ask that you would help us pray for that, but just pray that God would continue to bless this work. Just like Brother Daniel said, you know, this church, it's not man's work that's brought this church 240 years, I believe. It's God's work. And the work in the United Kingdom, it's not any man, it's not any woman, it's not any pastor or preacher. It's God's work. And we just want to encourage you to please pray for us as we head over, that God would use us. Just like that video said, that God would continue to open doors and that God would prepare us for the people over there. But we're very thankful to be here. If you would take the word of God, turn with me to Mark chapter 9. As you're turning there, I'm very thankful for the opportunity to preach this evening. I don't take it lightly. And I believe there's a message here that God gave me over the summer. And a message I believe can be a help to every single one of us in Mark chapter 9. While you're turning there, we do have a table in the back. If you want to come by, there's a few British items on there. There's some prayer cards, please. Take a prayer card, pray for us. There's a sign-up sheet for our email updates. And there's also a small little tray back there with some crackers and a wonderful British delicacy on there. It's a British spread if you want to try it. Most people do not like it, so if you don't like it, don't come to me and say, you made it sound great. It's not the greatest thing, but the British people love it. It's called Marmite. And so if you would like to try that, it's back there on the table. But please come by and see us there. But if you found your place there in Mark chapter 9, we're going to begin reading in verse number 14 and read this very familiar passage, but I believe God has something here for us, and just a quick thought out of this passage. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 14, the word of God says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. If you would look with me at verse number 19, we find here at the very end of this statement of Jesus Christ, as this father finishes telling him exactly why he's there, Jesus Christ finishes answering to his disciples, and he says these four words at the very end of verse number 19. He says, Bring him unto me. And with the Lord's help this evening, I'd like to look at this subject, four words to guide your life. Four words to guide your life. And I believe these four words of Christ that he gave to the disciples here at the end of verse 19 can be something that will guide every area and every step of our lives if we yield our lives to Christ. Whether we're serving right here in Great Tennessee or across the ocean in the United Kingdom, these four words can guide every step of our life. Bring him unto me. The fact of the matter is that every child of God has the opportunity to be used by God. As we understand the condition of this world and bring lost people to Christ, we will see the miracle that the gospel can perform in every single life. And it just takes following these four words, bring him unto me. There was a preacher who once said, the highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. The greatest form of praise is the sound of consecrated feet seeking the lost and helpless. And my encouragement tonight to you is to allow these four words to guide your life. Bring him unto me. And as we look at this passage, just very quickly, I'd like to walk through it and see the situation that Christ came into. Now, Christ, in this passage, he had just come down off of the Mount of Transfiguration. And as soon as he comes down, him and the three disciples that are with him, he comes down and this great multitude sees him. And as soon as they see him, they come running to him. And Jesus Christ, he sees the scribes there, and he says in verse 16, What question ye with them? And we see here the father, the scribes, they don't even answer, but the father of this child answers. And notice the condition of this son. Firstly, let's notice the condition of this son. In verse 17, the father said, it says, And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Understand that this son was being controlled by this demon. The Bible says it taketh him. It took him wherever that it wanted to take him. He had no control over his own body. The Bible says it teareth him. It comes to the point where it even says that he pineth away. That word pineth means he was literally withering away. This demon was destroying every part of his life, and he had no control over it. And ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world that's filled with people just like this son. They're controlled by their sin. They're controlled by this sin nature that they've been born with. They've come to the point where their sin takes them anywhere that it wants them to go. They come to the point where now it's destroying them. And as we find in Scripture, the end result of sin, no matter what it is, the end result of sin is destruction. The end result of sin is death. And this boy here, he was so controlled by this demon that the Bible says he pineth away. This son had no control over the situation. He was bound by this devil. And in full desperation, his father brought him to the disciples. And we find at the end of verse 18 that it says, and they could not. I was with a pastor over the summer, and you'd know his name if I called it. But he was telling me about his wife and how his wife is his secretary. And every day, or some days I should say, that she would tell him about some need that a church member had that had called him, or some need that someone in the community had called. And he said, it only takes 30 seconds to walk from our church office to our car. But he said, in those 30 seconds, she could tell me the problem. And by the time we sat down in the car, I could turn to her and say, well, if they just fix this, this, and this, it'd be all right. And he said, his wife turned to him and said this. She said, I didn't tell you so you could fix it. I told you so you could feel. And so often I feel like some Christians, we want to look around and we want to see the world around us that are so lost in their sin and say, well, if they would just fix this, they'd be all right. Well, if they, you know, if they could just do this, this, and this, or get rid of this, or stop looking at this, or stop going here, stop going there, stop living with this person, or stop doing this, they'd be all right. But Christ doesn't want us to fix it. Christ wants us to feel the situation that they're in, to understand where they're at, so controlled by their sin, and then do what? Bring him unto me. We don't need to try and fix the situation. We just need to feel where they're at right now and bring them to the one who can fix the situation. Think about in our own lives before we knew Christ. Think about where we were. Maybe we were very young and very little and we didn't understand all of it, but we understood that we were against God, that we had sinned against God, that our sin was one day going to take us to hell if we didn't get it right. Think about the situation we were in. Would we have appreciated every person who came to fix it, or would we appreciate that one person who came to us and showed us who could fix it? And the condition of this son is the same as the condition of the world around us. But notice quickly and secondly with me the inability of these disciples. In the end of verse number 18, he says, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Those four words at the end of verse number 18, they trouble me. You say, Brother Jonathan, why do they trouble you? Well, turn back to chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse number 7. Mark 6, verse number 7 says, and he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now jump down to verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. The Bible says in chapter number 6 that the disciples were given power over unclean spirits. And then at the end of chapter number 6, it says that they came to Jesus Christ and they told him not just what they had taught, but what they had done. That tells me that they had cast out demons. They had healed sick people. They had gone out with the power that God had given them, and they had changed lives. So then why do we come to chapter number 9 and it says, and they could not? The disciples had been given power over all demons and sicknesses, but they had grown accustomed to the ability that God gave them. And they needed a reminder, not of what they could do, they needed a reminder of who gave them the power to do it. And so often, we need a reminder in our own lives. We need a reminder that it's not our works that bring someone to Christ. It's not our works that save someone from their sin debt. May we never be known as Christians or as a church that people looked at us and said, and they could not. May we never be known as Christians who a lost soul would come to us and we would try and fix them in our own way. May it never be said of us, and they could not. But may it be said what we find in the next two verses where Christ says, bring them unto me. And in the verse after it says, and they brought him to him. May we be the Christians who bring people to Christ. Yesterday's blessings don't promise today's success. Just because God was able to use the disciples in chapter number 6 didn't mean that he could use them in chapter number 9 because they had lost the focus of Christ. They had grown accustomed to what they could do, and then they tried to do it through themselves and they failed. But the inability of the disciples should spur us on to point people to Christ. Notice thirdly with me the command of Christ. Look at this next verse. In verse number 19, he says, "He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." As Christ is rebuking the disciples for their lack of faith, he gives this command, "Bring him unto me." And we must remember in our own lives that in those times where we feel like we've been distracted, in those times where we are faced with a situation that we feel like we cannot help someone, someone's come to us and they've asked our help and we can't do it, just remember, when we can't do it, God still can do it. And when we are not able to help someone, if we just follow the command of Christ and bring them unto Him, He can still work the miracle. He can still change the life. And we just need to follow the command of Christ. And these four words can guide our life. This made me think about the Apostle Peter. Think about when Peter, when he was in the boat on the sea of Galilee, and they're going across, and there's the great big storm, and Christ comes walking to them. And Peter says, "Christ, if it's you, bid me to come unto you." And Christ says, "Come." And he starts walking across the water. But was it his own power that walked on that water, that gave him the ability? No. And you saw that it wasn't his own power, because as soon as he took his mind off of Christ, as soon as he stopped focusing on Christ and he started looking at the wind and started looking at the waves, what happened? He began to sink. As soon as his mind got off of who gave him the power to walk on water, he began to sink. But the amazing thing is that even when situations are over our head, they're still under God's feet. And God was still standing on the water. And when Peter cried out for help, Christ reached down and pulled him up. And when we are faced with these situations, these four words must guide our life. Bring him unto me. And the amazing thing is that it doesn't end there. It doesn't just end with the commandment, because Christ gives the commandment. We see in verse number 20, it says, "And they brought him unto him." We see that they obeyed, and then the amazing thing is that Christ still performed the miracle. Christ was able to heal that boy. And just because the disciples may have lost sight of where the power came from that they were able to use, just because they may have lost sight of who sent them out, just because they did that, God still used them to bring that boy to him. And God still performed the miracle to heal that sick child. And we see the miracle of Christ. In verse number 20, it goes on and it says, "And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming." The spirit understood that his time was very short. He may have seen the disciples and thought, "Well, I'm not worried." He may have seen the boy's father and the other people in the great crowd and thought, "I'm not worried." But as soon as he saw Christ, he knew his time was short. And in desperation, he tried to kill this child. And in verse 21, it says, "And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said of a child," that word child means an infant, just a baby, "when this spirit came on him. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Notice the response of Christ in verse 23. "Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." The question is never of God's ability. The question is always of our faith. God's able to perform the miracle, but do we have the faith that God can do it? Do we have the faith that God can take us through a situation? Do we have the faith that God can take a situation that every single person looks at and says, there is no possible way this situation can be changed? Do we have the faith that if we take that situation to God, that He can still make a difference? Because this father, he'd taken him everywhere. He brought him to the disciples, the ones who had gone about doing the very thing that he wanted them to do, and they could do nothing. But he said, "God, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." In verse number 25, It says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou deaf and dumb spirit, dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and he came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The fact of the matter is, Satan doesn't want healing. He wants hopelessness. Satan, he doesn't want belief. He wants bondage. Satan does not want faith. But the Bible says if we have just the faith of a grain of mustard seed, we could move mountains. And all Christ was looking for in this situation is faith. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, there is no saint here who can outbelieve God. God never outpromised himself yet. There's no saint here who can outbelieve God. And the fact of the matter is this child was brought to God, and this father had faith that God could do it, and God performed the miracle. And the four words that can guide our life is very simply this: bring him unto me. And when we come to situations that we can't fix, as we bring lost people to Christ by faith, he will work a miracle and change lives. I remember when I was over in the United Kingdom, during my first semester over there, there was a wedding at Beaches Road Baptist Chapel, right there where Levi and Brittany serve, and it was two church members who were getting married, and nobody knew this, but one of the bridesmaids of the bride, her fiancé had come, and he looked like any other person, but when he came in, or later I should say, we found out that he was the most well-known drug dealer in all of Birmingham, England. He was probably one of the richest people in Birmingham, England. If anybody needed anything, they came to him, and he was the supplier for the entire city. And people would look at his life and say, there is no possible way that this man would become a Christian. There's no possible way that anything could ever happen that would change this man's life. There's no way. He's not just in it. He's so far into it that he's had success by it, and he's enjoying it, and he's built his entire life around it. There's no way. But with impossible situations, we serve a miracle-working God. And the weddings in England, they're very different. And all the vows are said, and everything is done, and they don't kiss, and then they sit down on the front row. And the preacher preaches a message, not just like a short one, like a 45-minute message. Like, he just goes after it. And Brother James Anker preached the gospel. And he preached out of the gospel records about the marriage in Cana and how Christ performed the miracle at that marriage and how Christ can perform a miracle at that marriage there in Birmingham, England, if someone would believe on him. And that man, the drug dealer, Kevin, came to Brother Anker after the service. And Brother Anker took him into a side room, brought another worker there, David Vilsius, who was there that semester, and brought him there. And they began talking. And there on his knees with tears streaming out of his face, Kevin trusted Christ and was saved. Amen. And you know what happened? Kevin, he went home, he took all his drugs, and he flushed them down the toilet. And every time somebody came to Kevin or called Kevin and said, Kevin, I need this, I need that, he says, no, I'm a Christian. Christ has changed my life. You need to come with me to church. You know what, Kevin? He's still attending Beaches Road Baptist Chapel today. And people would look at this situation and say, there is no possible way this could ever be changed. But there's four words that can guide our life. Bring him unto me. And when we bring people to Christ, Christ can change the situation. Christ can perform the miracle. And my encouragement to you this evening, let these four words guide your life. Bring him unto me. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for the opportunity that we have to come into thy word. Father, into thy house and to hear from thy word. And Father, we thank thee that thou art a miracle-working God. God, I pray for the Christians who are here tonight. I pray that every one of us, that our lives will be guided by this commandment, and that we would bring people to you. Father, I pray if there's one here tonight that has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that tonight they would believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Father, I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just have one question. Just one question. Is there someone in your life that you know of that God has placed on your mind here tonight? Is there someone that God has placed on your mind tonight that you know they need Christ? My only question is, would you bring them to Christ? Would you bring them to Christ in prayer? Would you speak their name to Christ right now? And as God leads you, would you go to that person and tell them about the one who can change their lives? Maybe you say it's a Christian, but they've fallen away. Or it's a Christian who's going through a very hard time, but they need Christ. Would you pray for them even now? And would you allow these four words to guide your life?
Let's all stand together with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. The music can begin to play. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. It's my prayer and hope that many of us will have someone here on Sunday that we could see that life transformation here. It's impossible for anybody to get saved apart from Jesus. Brother Jonathan's brought a powerful message to us this evening. And I would encourage you to respond to what he just offered, the invitation given. Bring someone here. Just tonight, the person you've been praying for 15 days, pray here for them. One last opportunity. You'll never forget the moment you came forward to the altar and prayed for them, especially if they get saved this Sunday. So I'm going to pray one more time. As soon as I say amen, the altar is open for you. It's open now. But as soon as I say amen, you come and you pray for those that you have on your mind. Father, thank you for this message. I pray we would be a church that follows this thought, bringing people to Jesus. Lord, you are the one that the people of the Tri-Cities need, and we can bring them to you. Lord, I pray that we would realize anything good is outside of our ability, but that we serve a good God who wants to do a great work. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open. You come and pray for those that God has laid on your heart. Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Jonathan. You can look this way. Thank you for that powerful message. Thank you for being here this evening. Make sure you stop by and see them at their table before you leave tonight. I'm going to call Brother Marty Scroggs to the platform. He's going to take